Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am Fish on a Heater.
And I'm DeFi250.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP podcast that abandoned their dates for this recording. DeFi, how are you doing?
I am doing well, and I am not abandoning my date for this recording because it is Tuesday, February 13th. However, tomorrow on Valentine's Day, we have Enamorous Raids, and we will be talking about that very shortly. But before that, I had a pretty good week and a good weekend. What did I do this weekend?
I am always like that where someone asked me like, how was your week or how was your weekend? I'm like, wait, how was my weekend?
Because I don't think I did anything, and that's kind of the glory of it. I didn't do a whole lot.
That's pretty special.
It is. There was Decidueye raids on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a shiny. It took me forever to get a shiny. And that was like 24.
Wow.
It was really gross.
Is it what's the shiny rate for these raid days normally? Is it like
it's
the
one
same
in 20.
As the legendary? It's 1 in 20. Okay, so like slightly above what it should have been.
Mm-hmm. But it still felt gross.
It still feels real gross, doesn't it?
It does. One fun thing is that I paid. This is not fun. This is why this week, beginning on Monday, was not great. I had to pay my hospital visit. Because right before the Charlotte Regional, I was in the ER. I had a really bad stomach bug, and it happened kind of in the middle of the night, and I didn't know what to do, so we went to the ER because the walk-in wasn't open. Would you like to guess in a USD, American dollars, for an ER visit? Now, note, I didn't have any scans. No scans. It was just for the ER visit and some medicine.
This is a conversation that comes up with myself and Americans quite a lot because I'm lucky enough to live in this wonderful country of Australia where it wouldn't have cost me anything. I couldn't even picture how much. I'm going to take a wild guess. Going to go $200. Really? Like, I thought 200 might be overshooting it. Really?
Again, just for the ER visit, I'm gonna pause here because I'm gonna sign in and I'm gonna bring up like the bill. So, Fish, are you ready? Certainly not $200. Are you ready to hear what I paid in total?
I don't think I am ready, but hit me.
$1,800, and that is after insurance.
Oh,
insurance in U.S. dollars. So let's take $1,800. And put that in Aussie money.
It's like 3,000 for me.
Yep, 2,700 Australian dollars.
Yeah, that's incredible. Just to go in and just like find out what the issue might be. And like, did you ever get an answer for that?
Yeah, like, I mean, more or less. It was either...
Okay, you found out what was causing the issue.
Because it was likely not food poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably there was a stomach bug going around at the time. I took some really powerful, like, anti-nausea kind of medication.
Mm.
They had to put an IV in me for a little bit, but that IV was just pretty much saline solution just to get me rehydrated and a little bit of medication. But yeah, 1800 US.
Wow. So I actually had a similar experience where I went to an ED with just mystery stomach pain. And so they gave me a couple of, you know, painkillers. They took a sample of blood. They took a urine sample, eventually came back and said, look, can't find the issue. we don't know what's wrong. You say the pain has subsided, so I guess nothing else we can do now. Get on your way. If it happens again, just consult your GP. Have a nice night. so, like, I went in, didn't get any answers. The pain just subsided on its own after a few hours. And, like, I imagine if I had to pay $3,000 for that. Like, that's more than like a couple of weeks pay for me.
Yep.
Oh man. Yep. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yep. They took some blood. They did do a blood sample.
Okay. Yep. But yeah, still that, yeah, doesn't, that alone doesn't account for $1,800.
Nope. America. Well,
yeah. sorry to get political on the podcast first thing. Like, that's usually like an hour in kind of conversation, but no, we're just hitting you with it. The hard hitting topics straight off the bat.
Yeah, it just discourages you. Like, it just really stinks. Like, if something hits you in the middle of the night, because the walk-in's not nearly that expensive, mm-hmm. but if you have a big enough problem, the walk-in's going to send you to the ER.
Mm-hmm.
But I maybe could have done the walk-in. It's just, it happened to be after the walk-in had closed.
Yeah. And what was your waiting time? Like, when you...
Oh, I got in immediately.
Okay, that's good. Because, like, I guess that might be an advantage with the American system, is that, like, in Australia, because it's all free, you get some people that go into the ED when they probably shouldn't. So, like, they break a nail and they're like, emergency. So, like, that can really blow out wait times there. Like, I've heard of people having to sit in the in just the waiting room to be taken in for hours. So yeah, really interesting story. I am sorry that happened to you.
I know, I try to keep it positive, but I'm like, oh, I was looking back at my calendar and like what I all did, and I'm like, let's play, you know, how much does this cost? I love that game.
All right. What happened in a PvP sense this
Ooh,
week?
I had a great week in PvP.
Okay.
So in the Go Battle League, here's another, guess my current ELO. I'm not legend, but guess my current ELO. Last week, I was not even expert.
Okay, so you...
I was at the veteran rank last week.
So you are expert now?
Yes.
I'm going to go 2907. 2934. Hey, wow. Look at you. Back-to-back seasons, potentially.
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 We're not there yet, and I want to get there in the next couple of days for reasons I'm going to explain. However, I'm struggling a little bit. So my team is from Blob, Coach Blob, in the Beginner to Winner PvP podcast server. I'm running Steel Wing, Togetic, Hakamoho, and Vigoroth, which is a great team. Phenomenal team.
Oh,
I love it.
I don't think he created that team.
Well, he shared it with me.
Okay, right. Yeah, because I've seen it so many times.
He shared it with me like day one of the cup. So mm-hmm, I said... Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a good team.
It's a good team, and he's the one who shared it with me and told me a little bit about how to play it.
My team definitely beats it, which is why I'm glad that it's been seen so many times.
Well, I can beat most things. Like, I've had mostly positive sets. However, right at this rank, there are people who are leading Matang, and that, like, I can't be, I should just top left when I see a Matang. I have nothing that wins. Nothing. Everything gets eaten by Matang, which is very frustrating. But thankfully, not a lot of people are running it. I'm also seeing some Chansey, but not too many. I'm just worried as this week is going to wear on that I'm going to see more Chansey, and I kind of want to try to push over the edge before Evolution Cup finishes, because I will not be playing the week of February 16th to the 23rd because it's Catch Cup, and I'm nervous to play the last week because I'm afraid it's just going to be a lot of, like, Bastiodon hard counter
Oh, yeah.
stuff. So I'd rather try to get there this week, so wish me luck. How about you, Fish?
So, my Go Battle Day was interesting. I ran a team of Shadow Dusclops, Vigoroth, and Hakamo backline. And basically the aim of the game for me was get your Vigoroth in first. Because, like, if you get your Vigoroth in with a bit of energy lead, then, like, it can beat pretty much anything in the meta. And having Dusclops in the lead meant that you wouldn't ever get people switching in their own Vigoroth as, like, a safe switch into that. So it would ensure that I get my Vigoroth in before they do. I gained about 280 points that day, and I didn't even do all 20 of my sets. And it was funny because I was emceeing a wedding that night, and, like, there's a fair bit of downtime between, like, introducing, like, running the formalities of the night. So, like, I would go into, like, the back room of the venue and be playing my sets, just, like, keeping an ear out for, or, like, keeping an eye on my watch to see when I'm needed next. But I was cramming as many sets in as I could. And, yeah, 280 points. Unfortunately, like, 2 days later, I hit a mysterious wall. Like, I got a 1-4, then a 4-1, but then another 1-4, and then an 0-5. And so I'm like, oh, man, I need to change this up. So now I'm running Chargebug in the lead, and I'm starting to regain those points that I lost again.
Sounds like we both had some positive experiences. I'm just so, like, I am really hoping I get there this week. I got a couple days.
You got this.
We'll see. It's frustrating because, like, I know I can be there because the past 2 days I've been in the 2900s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just can't quite push.
You're just getting, like, 2-3s and 3-2s.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, what was today's record? I wrote it down. I started at 29-23, and then it was 2-3-4-1-2-3-3-2-2-3. So yeah. I was plus 11. And again, two of those losses were Matang, which I can't do anything about.
That is, like, pretty gross. Major,
it's such a gross Pokemon to run. Ha!
It's very RPS. It's like running Togekiss in Master League. Like, it's going to win hard or lose hard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know how true that is, but so three of the things that it does beat quite hard are Togetic, Vigoroth, and Hakamo. So, like, yeah, yes. I can understand that, like, you'd see that and go, whoop.
But it loses pretty hard to, like, Dusclops, Chargebug. Yes. Vigoroth, it can be close with the counter damage, but, like, it rocks Togetic with Metal Claw. It is so bad.
Yeah, but how bulky is it?
It's, let me see, my brain. I know what number I'm looking for. I'm looking for its stats. 2043.
Oh, so that's pretty bulky as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Crocolaw would be a good counter to it.
Yep. Crocolore's tough for my team. Like, it's not unbeatable.
But it is tough, I get that.
However, like, I always feel like Disarming Voice isn't going to be that bad, because it's not that strong of a move. And it's not same type attack bonus. Mm. But you can't, like, Hakamo can't really tank it.
No, not at all. Double weak
to
it.
Mm-hmm.
And the... With an energy lead, Crocolaw is dead. Well, like, with an energy lead, any incinerator is deadly because, like, it's getting to those second and third charge moves in 10 turns apiece. Like, the first one takes 15 turns, which is reasonably long in Great League, but yeah, then 10 and 10, like, it really puts the pressure on. All right, so that's our experiences with Evolution Cup. That means we are going to look ahead to the last 2 weeks of the season. And as mentioned, the next meta is the Little Catch Cup and the Great League Catch Cup. After that, from February 23rd to March 1st, we have all three Open Leagues. Are you going to attempt Open Great League or Open Ultra League?
If I don't have to, I won't. We'll see, though. We'll see where I'm at. If I hit Legend and I can just run something, like, really fun in the end, then sure. But if I haven't hit Legend yet and I actually have to try, that's less fun for me. We shall see. Open Great League, if you take a look at the PV Poke rankings, it's still a lot of like Lickitung's number one, Cresselia, Shadow Gligar, Registeel. You got Shadow and regular Swampert, Carbink, Skarmory, Lantern, Mantine. So some fun stuff in here. Bastiodon's hanging out down there at number 12. Annihilate is kind of the big thing that's really shaking everything up. It's currently at 14. I would probably run an Annihilate team if I had to run something in Open Great League, because I think Annihilate is really fun. And you can play that big debate of what's better, Ice Punch or Night Slash. Doonbug would certainly say Night Slash is better. Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's,
Boost bug.
I think the only thing you really, really want your Ice Punch for is your Gligar. Because, like, how many other flyers... Like, Ice Punch you want for the flyers, right? But how many flyers are relevant in Great League at the moment? It's Gligar, Skarmory, and Talonflame. And Skarmory and Talonflame, Ice Punch is neutral against them anyway.
Yep, so you might as well go Shadow Ball.
So, yeah, or Night Slash if you need that lower energy move, like if you want to try and bait him. But am I missing anything? Like, what other flyers are relevant at the moment?
I don't know, but they're underneath Mandibuzz.
Mandibuzz, of course, yeah. So you want Ice Punch for Mandibuzz.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, all the others are beneath Medicham on this list at number 21 in the PV Poke rankings. Clodsire's at 27. Like, that's where Medicham's hanging out, is in the 20s, along with Shadow Bastiodon.
It's been moved to the kids table
a little bit. I do really love, though, if you look at Open Great League, like, what do you say is viable? What's your magic number for the PV Poke score?
I usually say 82.
Like, if you go all the way down to 82 in the Open Great League, you're going to be at number 224.
That's amazing, actually.
Like 83 gets me to 187 with Clefable.
I have, my experience with Great League for the longest time has been that it feels so rock, paper, scissors. Like, I can't seem to avoid battles where we get down to the last Pokemon, I've got a two shield advantage, and then they just have that Pokemon that, whoops, can't do anything against it, and I lose. Like, that Charger Bug just keeps getting mashed up against the Gligar, or my Gligar keeps getting mashed up against their Dewgong, or something like that. So, it's quite a surprise to me that, according to the numbers, it is such a wide open meta.
Yeah, like, that's why if I get to the end and I'm legend already, I want to run like a Hackamo-O team in Open Great League. I want to run a Sirfetch team, or I don't know, something kind of interesting. A Dewgong team, a Gastrodon team.
Mm, yeah.
Goodra. Something kind of silly. Something a little silly.
Make it fun.
Whalmer. Let's have a.
Do you have the XLs for that?
I do. Hey. Beats Talonflame. There's your Talonflame counter.
All right, so that's GBL. Let's move on. We have some events to talk about. It's our in-game event section. And coming up, what is it, this weekend, DeFi? We have Enamorous entering
today for you.
It is today for me. Yes, that's right. I forget it's Valentine's Day because I'm incredibly lonely. you're my date for Valentine's Day. Yeah, so Enamorous has just entered the game. Hang on, let me look up what Enamorous has got now, because it is in the game. We can confirm what the movesets are. So Enamorous has a moveset of Fairy Wind. Basically, Fairy Wind is the fast move you want. For charge moves, it's got Dazzling Gleam, Fly, and Grass Knot, which is a pretty cool set of moves. Fly and Grass Knot, both very high damage for energy moves. Dazzling Gleam is also very damaging as well, but it is a higher energy cost move. You do have the Fairy Wind, though, that will get you up to that pretty quickly. 8 Fairy Winds it will take to get to a Dazzling Gleam. In the Ultra League, Enamorous is ranked pretty low at 153. And it is recommending Fairy Wind, Fly, and Dazzling Gleam. In Master League, it's definitely higher, number 47. However, have you ever looked at, say, your Pokégeni readout? Do you use Pokégeni or Kakiavi?
I use Kalki.
Kalki, yeah, same here. Have you ever looked at your Kalki readout at, like, two different Pokémon and seen, like, oh, this one's a rank 47 and this one's a rank 52, but then, like, the difference between them is, like, one says 98% and the other one says 96%, so it's actually, like, quite a big difference, even though the rank is pretty similar?
Yeah, I've seen something like that.
Right. So what I'm getting, that very long run-up was to indicate that it seems to be the same for this, where it is ranked 47 as opposed to the 153 for Ultra League, but the score here is 83.9, as opposed to in Ultra League it's 81.8. So that tells me, the information that appears to give me is that the Master League meta is smaller, there are less viable Pokemon, and of those, Enamorous is sitting pretty equally outside that core meta. Like, it's an equal distance on the fringe of those metas. Does that make sense?
Yes. I would also argue Enamorous is a flying fairy. Fish, what is another flying fairy that you can use in the Master League or even in Great League or Ultra League?
Well, I would imagine you're talking about Togekiss. However, DeFi, Enamorous is actually higher ranked in the Master League at the moment than Togekiss.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I would argue that Togekiss is still better in the Master League. It can do a lot because it has charm. It can has a lot of that fast move pressure.
Mm.
And I can see it, though, because Fly is a really good move with Enamorous.
And that Grass Knot as well. Like, if you're up against a Kyogre, it also actually does pretty well against Excadrill with Grass Knot. Like, it can almost beat Excadrill in the two shields. It definitely beats it in the zero shields as well. Whereas Togekiss struggles a little more. Like, you have to land that Flamethrower, and if they've got shields, then, like, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. You can also arguably compare Enamorous to something like Zacian, which is another fairy. It's not as close of a comparison. However, you also have Xerneas, Sylveon. It's just there's a lot of really good fairy types in the Master League, and it's just not... I don't think it's as arguable to go for Enamorous. However, I think Enamorous has a lot of potential because it has a signature move in the game. It's not in PvP yet, but it does, like in Legends Arceus, it has a signature move called Springtide Storm is the name of its move. And depending on how that goes, if that ends up being really good, I think Enamorous could end up being really good.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Because, you know, we don't know. Another example of that would be Geomancy. We had no idea what Geomancy would do because that was Xerneas's move.
Yeah.
But then when it got introduced, it made Xerneas better. Like, it was a better move for Xerneas. It changed how you play it. It changed things. So I think Springtide Storm, I would guess it would be a charged attack. If when it comes out, could be a fast move, though. We don't know. I'm assuming it's going to be a charged attack. We'll see. We shall see. So I'm taking a quick peek. GoHub released an article on Incarnate Enamorous. That's the other thing. We also have Therian Enamorous. That's not out yet. I'm just taking a quick look through. GoHub released an article on Incarnate Enamorous. And that's even just looking at the title, that tells you something because Enamorous has a Therian form, just like its brothers. We have Thundurus and Landorus, all of those.
And with all three, it's Landorus, Thundurus, and Tornadus. And
yes,
with all three, the Therian form is higher ranked than the Incarnate form. So that's worth noting.
Yes. So it's potential. It has a lot of potential. I do like this line in their write-up that says, personally, I wouldn't cancel any plans, cough, on Valentine's Day, cough, to go after Enamorous right now, because it will come back. Just like all Pokemon, all legendaries, we'll see it again. And when we see it again, it might have its signature move. It might be shiny. We might get the Therian. So this is, if you don't get a chance on Valentine's Day, if you're listening to this and like, ah, I missed it, that's okay. You are just fine, because you will have other opportunities in the future. So just like, you know, maybe you're not going to get Enamorous this weekend, you might also not be in LA right now doing the Sinnoh Tour in-person event in Los Angeles. That is also okay, because we are gearing up to do the global event. There's going to be a week-long event coming up Monday, February 19th to Friday, February 23rd, all leading up to the global event where everyone gets Sinnoh Tour. And there's a lot here. Hatch egg distance, we love that. Remote raid pass limit is going to be increased. There will be no limit on remote raids for the weekend. That's cool.
That's cool.
And like, you can get those little enhancers. Like, you could get a little road to center. Road to Sinnoh.
Road to Sinnoh. Da-na-na.
Da-na-na. There's a raid enhancer you can get. You can get an egg enhancer if you want to hatch you some Pachirisu. You can get the starters for that generation, Turtwig, Chimchar, Piplup. I love that Munchlax is in 2 kilometer eggs. I love me some Munchlax, Riolu. It's a lot of fun. Sinnoh is a lot of fun. Appearing in 5-star raids on Monday, February 19th, there's going to be Darkrai. We're also going to get a special raid hour that day from 6 to 7. And on Tuesday, February 20th, we're going to get a Cresselia raid hour that day. Wednesday, we're going to get the Lake Spirit trio, Uxie, Mesprit, and Azelf. So we're getting these little raids every single day, like little special Sinnoh raids. Thursday is Heatran. And then the big one, the one you should care about, is Friday, February 23rd. We're going to have Origin Form Giratina. Giratina! The sneaky one.
No,
I am so
it's not
excited.
Giratina.
Oh, it's Giratino.
Yeah.
Giratino, because it's Origin.
Yes.
Giratino. And you should care about that. If you want to play Master League or Ultra League, you should care about Giratina raids and the Giratina XL candy. The other big thing, there is going to be a timed research. Be sure to do it, because you can get Heatran, Giratina Origin, Cresselia, and Darkrai all at level 15. This is going to be the very first time that Giratina Origin is going to be available in Great League. That is a big, big, big deal. Also, if you're out there and you are having a hard time trading a Cresselia down to get to Great League, this one will be guaranteed. You can get a guaranteed Cresselia for Great League, which is really awesome for a lot of people, because it's a good Pokemon. Mm. It's giving a lot of play in the official circuit right now.
I will also throw in there that Giratina Origin, decent for Master League at the moment. Like, it's ranked higher than Dialga as a dragon.
Yeah, that's why you should raid it on Friday. You should raid it on Friday and get XL candies. I am very excited. I still haven't met my goal. I met one goal. Oh, yeah, I didn't even mention. I met a goal. I put it in the PvP achievements. Yeah, I put it in the Discord. So we'll talk about that goal. But one of my goals for the season was maxing out a Master League legendary. And I might go for Giratina. I might just go wild, okay. Buck wild.
All right.
We'll see, though. Because I tried that for Ho-Oh and it didn't go very well for me. But we shall see. Because I do have a Giratina altered. It's a 98% lucky.
The altered form. Yep. Which is ranked higher than the origin form at the moment. And that is, like, if you don't know, raiding the origin form Giratina will get you XL candy that can be used on either the origin or the altered form. So, yeah, if you're like DeFi, you have an altered form that you want to max out, and you need the XLs for it, you can raid this origin form and get those XLs.
Yeah, it's a 98% lucky shiny.
That's pretty boss.
And it's not even like a bad 98. It's the 15, 14, 15. Like, that's fine. Mm. You can build that one.
Yeah.
It's the 14, 15, 15 that's kind of iffy if you want to put resources into it. But this one's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's a best buddy. Is great. So like, I want to max that out. So we'll see. If anything, I'm just going to get a bunch of XL candy for it because we haven't seen Giratina in raids in a long time.
So that is the in-game event section. Should we move on to some grassroots?
I would love to move on to some grassroots. We have the Battle Frontier, and this would be a good time to talk about that fast move glitch that was plaguing us for a couple days. It was very concerning. We had a bit of a scare right before the Dortmund regional. A bunch of people had their apps updated, and in the update, people were losing entire fast moves of damage, which you might not notice if you're playing a Dragonair, if you're playing even a Swampert. However, if you're playing a Talonflame, you'll notice if an Incinerate goes missing and that damage just disappears.
Yeah.
So that was very scary. People were scrambling and like thinking, do I have to change my team? What is going on? However, Niantic was able to fix it, and it was a very strange turning of events where they fixed it for Europe. Like, they fixed it in Europe, but the American players and other players in the world still had the glitch. But they fixed it in Europe for Dortmund first, and then everybody's got fixed.
Yeah, I was... This also happened, like, just before we were meant to finally kick off our Sovereign Cup in the Palutena Discord server and the Ultra League Draft as well. They were both meant to start at the same time. This kind of kicked in, and we're talking like some of the tournament staff were talking about like how to handle this, and Lyle Jess was in there and he goes, dude, they have to fix it, Dortmund's coming up. And I'm like, do they though? Like, they might, but like, how can you be sure in any way that this will happen? And sure enough, it like, we were kind of both right. They did fix it for the Europeans, but everyone else was like secondary.
We had to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
And they fixed it for the Europeans just in time. So a lot of people had already locked in their teams, and it was kind of iffy online. Like, is it actually fixed? Is it not actually fixed? So a lot of people changed their team based on this information. Like, they took Talonflame off or Charjabug, these Pokemon with these long fast moves, opted for 1 and 2 fast move Pokemon. So it did impact, I think, Dortmund a little bit, which is frustrating. It also impacted the Battle Frontier because we ended up having to extend. So the Battle Frontier's week is just taking 2 weeks instead. So people were able to do their battles later because people ended up losing like 2 or 3 days of being able to do their battles, which I'm really glad the Battle Frontier people said, that's not really fair.
Yeah.
A lot of people battle on Thursday and Friday, so we're just going to push the deadline off for a week. I had a phenomenal week in Battle Frontier. I was really nervous. I don't know if you remember last week, but I was super nervous for my battle against Drayflames. We are up against SoCal Swablu Gold, which is kind of their big team, or their like first team. I don't know how you would call it, like their anchor team, the one that's been around the longest.
The A-team.
Yeah. And I swept Drayflames 3-0.
Hey, let's go.
Very, like, they were phenomenal battles. He ran a Poison Sting Quillfish, Hisuian Quillfish. Or he ran a Poison Jab one. I ran a Poison Sting one. And that threw him off, I think, a little bit.
Okay.
Because for me in the Primordial meta, I value the spamminess of Hisuian Quillfish over the damage that Poison Jab does.
Fair enough.
So especially looking, because we don't have to lock in our moves. We can see what our opponent is running and then change our moves. So based on his specific team lineup, I thought Poison Sting was a better choice. And that definitely got me one of the matches. And I just have a phenomenal team. I was scrimming a ton. That was the most I've scrimmed for a long time. Just hours of like, okay, who has Drayflames' team? Let me fight it. Let me practice.
And looks like it paid off.
And it paid off, so it was really good. And I'm just really proud. Our team, again, we came so close to upsetting the Cool Cats. This week, it's not over. We still have some battles left to play, but we are making the SoCal Swab Blue Gold sweat a little bit, which is something I'm pretty proud of. Like, we're taking it to the two of the arguably best teams in our pool, and we're making them kind of uncomfortable with how close we're getting. So I think that's really good, considering our team hasn't played together in a long time since Self-Factions.
Yeah. Yeah, well done. I hope you keep on getting those successes in your team, and good luck to you for future rounds, and good luck to you for the end of this round as well. Hopefully you can get the points that you need.
How did the Dark Knight do?
I don't actually know. Because our captain was like, please nobody battle until this is like resolved. So like we have only just started getting back into like rearranging our battles. I think mine is coming up Friday night US time. So like I won't have an update for you until next week.
All right. Well, best of luck to Team the Dark Knight. And one thing I do want to really shout out here and take time to do is, if you are interested in what we are talking about for the Battle Frontier, we don't have a ton of time to dive into everything, all the different pools, how everyone is doing. There's four different regions. There's also APAC. There is LATAM. There's EU. You should really take a look at the Battle Frontier podcast, the official podcast, which is Enter the Dragonair's Den. They do a phenomenal job really diving deep, and they're actually looking to expand the podcast beyond just the two current main hosts, because they want to give more of a spotlight to the other regions around the world. So if you're interested and you love Battle Frontier, be sure to check them out. And they've been promoting how to join their team. No podcasting experience is required. I didn't have any podcasting experience when I started doing this, and I think we do okay for ourselves. So
yeah, we do all right.
We do all right. So no experience required. If that's something you're interested in, you could definitely hit up myself, or you can hit up Fish. We can get you connected to the right people.
So that means it's time for our Play Pokemon section. DeFi, we had Dortmund happening on the weekend, as we mentioned earlier, and there were 104 players that played. The overall winner is Arceus Aurelius, who is someone who had been doing a few scrims in the Pallet Town Discord server, so I like to claim his win totally. Arceus is a streamer, a pretty established battler. Beat Colin69, who is a previous winner, I believe, of European regional as well. So a pretty hype final, and it did go to a bracket reset as well. Arceus Aurelius beat Colin 3-2 in the final, and then in the bracket reset, 1-3-1.
Yes, so he's had a really good season if you take a look. So he also competed in Gdansk, took 7th place. He competed in Lille in October, did not do as well there, but had that recent 7th place finish, had finished 17th in Liverpool. So has had actually some pretty strong back-to-back performances. And yeah, really took it away this time. I am so glad, because of the time change, I didn't wake up at like whatever it was, 3 a.m. to watch all the battles. But I'm really glad I watched the grand finals, because it was stellar. It was a bracket reset. We love a bracket reset, where Arceus Aurelius took 3-2 and then beat Colin 3-1 in the reset. That was phenomenal. And It was, again, we keep saying all these tournaments are stacked. For a European tournament, this was very, very good. Zeej Wireless was in there. We mentioned Colin. Tonton Batus was in there as well. Tragicomics did quite well.
And I'm actually really interested in Tonton Batus's team, which we'll get to in a second. Do you want to tell me about Arceus Aurelius's team first?
Yeah, would love to. So actually, the top two teams have both Talonflame and Abomasnow, which is very fun and different. We love that. So in addition to Talonflame and Abomasnow, we had Azumarill, Cresselia, Whiscash, and Registeel. Where Colin's team also had the Talonflame and the Abomasnow and the Whiscash and the Azumarill also had a Lickitung on the other side, as well as that Annihilape. Arceus Aurelius, I think, had the only team without Annihilape in the top eight.
And running essentially double grass as well, which I think, like, grass is so important in this meta because, like, so many people are running Whiscash and a lot of teams are going double water as well, which Arceus Aurelius has done. And so did Colin69. They've both got the Whiscash and the Azumarill as well. It's just so easy to be double weak to grass on your team somewhere. The only trouble with grass is that most of them do pretty badly against the flyers. So, like, trying to bring a Venusaur into a Skarmory fight is not going to go well for you. However, Abomasnow is that one grass-type Pokemon that can hit the flyers very, very hard. Talonflame is an exception. But then you've got other Pokemon that can beat the Talonflame, like the Azumarill and the Redisteel and the Whiscash. And then also doubling up on the grass damage with Cresselia, running that Grass Knot. And Cresselia will, you know, force a Whiscash to shield every single time. Like, I think, I'm pretty sure the Grass Knot will one-shot it from full health. So, especially the Shadow, anyway. So, I really like that double grass and double water strategy.
I was just, it was a very emotional series when Arceus Aurelius won. Just the pop-off was so good.
Okay.
It was so good. And it was also very fun. There were a lot of jokes in the chat. They were both wearing flannel. Colin and Arceus Aurelius. So people were like, okay, so wear flannel, make grand finals. Got it.
Taking it notes.
Taking notes.
Yeah, so, and just to backtrack to Tonton's team, check this out. Guzzlord, Cresselia, Shadow Zapdos, Whiscash, Annihilape, and Shadow Alolan Sandslash. What do you make of that?
Well, it seems like Tonton might be taking a cue from Evan, who had that Shadow Zapdos. Also, Guzzlord. I love Guzzlord. I want more trainers to run Guzzlord. It is such a fun Pokemon. Its scream is silly. It's such a silly, silly dragon. And it just, it looks so off compared to all other Pokemon in there. So those are super fun picks, and I was just really happy to see that he made top cut, even though it came in from the loser's bracket and didn't make it as far. He tied, I think he took eighth place, so kind of right at the end. Was able to have a really good run with a very off-meta team, and I appreciate that, because Tonton Batuus is also the one who brought Sea King and did so well with the Sea King. I don't know which is sillier to you, a Sea King or the Shadow Zapdos Guzzlord combo.
I'll say the Sea King is a little bit sillier, because, like, I've always known Sea King has chops. It's just a little bit difficult because, like, there's so many things that resist and double resist that poison jab, and like a drill run. You might need two or sometimes even three to KO a certain Pokemon. So, like, it can be very difficult to use. I think that's a bolder choice. But to be honest, even bolder than that, I think, is the Shadow Alolan Sandslash, because, like, Shadow Alolan Sandslash was something I really wanted to run in Melbourne, but I just did not feel like I could, knowing that practically everyone was going to have Whiscash on their team and also Annihilate slash Vigoroth. And you can see, like, how many trainers here in this Dortmund regional have brought Annihilape and made day two as well. So, like, both of those Pokemon just beat the pants off of the off of the Alolan Sandslash. So if you get it locked in against one of those two, then you're in for a world of hurt. So I actually think the Alolan Sandslash is the bigger wow moment for me.
I'm looking Tonton actually brought Shadow Zapdos to Liverpool this year, but he took 65th place.
Oh.
So it did not work out as well for him. Brought it with an Arctobax, which I still think Arctobax is kind of a fun choice. He's been running Arctobax since Gdansk, where he brought the Sea King. It was Sea King and Arctobax. So that is very fun. I just like Tonton's team building. Like, I feel like it's a little off the rails, and I'm here for it.
I'm jealous. I would love to be that good at team building.
So, very, very fun. Congratulations to all of our European battlers, but especially Arceus Aurelius. And I know a lot of battlers are incredibly happy that we had Mr. Chef. We had the chef himself, Nighttime Clasher, did not do as well this time. It's kind of a meme. It's kind of a joke that people are not so happy with the American invasion of European regionals. But that's fun. I feel like people have been kind of hyping it up. So maybe we'll get a bunch of Europeans at a US or a North American regional. And we have lots of those coming up.
As long as it stays jovial, I can completely imagine it happening where it starts off as this fun meme and then people slowly forget why this joke is there and it becomes real over time and like it becomes a genuine animosity. So like, I hope that anyone who engages in this joke, please just keep in mind that it is fun.
We're joking around about
we are joking around
a Gen Z-er in a chef's hat.
Yes.
Like that's what this joke is about, and
as long as he's okay with it, I assume he is.
He is a meme lord. He is. Mm. That's what he is. But to be fair, you know, our American Nighttime Clasher had a very like solid run considering how massive the tournament was.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Group B in the bracket. Lost to Zijwilis, totally understandable, and then ended up losing to Lurgan Rocket, who is also a very talented battler.
The first ever regional winner.
Yes. So that's fair enough. So I guess he wasn't, whatever he was cooking this time didn't quite work out for him.
Needed more salt.
Maybe a little more salt. So a little more seasoning. I'm hoping, though, maybe it'll be fun. We can see some Europeans make the trip overseas to some of the tournaments we have over here. First off, though, we do have an upcoming event. Nothing this weekend and nothing the weekend after that. We're going to have no Play Pokemon section, no official tournament section for the next couple of weeks until we have Utrecht, which is a special event in March. Last I checked, it was at 205. I expect that is going to sell out. Special events, remember, are different. You don't have the prize money. You're really only competing for the championship points. But it's free to enter. So we tend to see a big turnout for those special events, which is cool and makes for some really fun battles. Then we have Vancouver, March 22nd to 24th. The last I saw is right when it opened, and it was 17. Battlers, I want to see us get it to at least 60. We can do 60. I know we can. I know we can do 60. So I am hoping that we can at least get that far. Maybe it'll be some last-minute signups, kind of like what we saw in Knoxville, which ended up being a very large tournament. Then we have another break. So between Utrecht and Vancouver, we have a couple weeks. And then we have a short break, and then it's EUIC in London. We know when that registration is going to open, February 22nd and 23rd. That is going to be so, so important that you are on socials and paying attention to when that registration goes live, because they tend to sell out pretty fast. A lot of people are going to be interested in this tournament. I imagine the cap is going to be 256, and I think we're going to hit it pretty quick. So be sure you are paying attention, kind of make your plans now. Then we're off to Orlando, April 12th to the 14th. That registration, as you are listening, should be open. It opened on Valentine's Day, February 14th. And then Perth is also that same weekend, April 13th and 14th. Same thing, registration open on Valentine's Day. So registration should be open for our Aussie friends.
All right. We're almost an hour into this podcast. I think it's time to open the mailbag. What do you say?
Sounds good to me. And if I dig in there, we have something from January 26th, Dottish 22 writes, "Hello Fish and DeFi, Dottish 22 here. Today I had something happen during a Great League match that I've never experienced, and immediately after it happened, I knew I had to tell you guys about it. I'll set the stage. Me and another trainer were approaching the end of a neck and neck battle, each down to our last Pokemon, my Umbreon and their Galarian Stunfisk. But they had slightly more HP, but I had one shield left. I would have easily had this matchup, but the match countdown timer was dwindling below 10 seconds. We each raced to our charge move, and with exactly 2 seconds left on the timer, they win the tie. At this point, I say to myself, no way am I going to lose this match. This way, because they have more HP than me, I shield just for the heck of it. Immediately after shielding, I'm shocked as my charge move animation for foul play starts. I promptly hit all my bubbles and win the match by KO. Was I allowed to throw the after the timer ended because it was a tie? Have either of you heard of or experienced the scenario for yourself? Also, Fish, I'm happy to report a similar team comp to you is working very well for me. I'm running a Whiscash Charjabug core, but my safe swap is our joint favorite Pokemon, Umbreon, opposed to your Jellicent. It is working very well for me right now. Currently over 2,300 with it, as I'm trying to push veteran. Cheers, guys. Keep up the great work. From Dan. Dan, thank you so much for writing in. And yes, because you had the charge attack priority tie, you were able to throw that last move. If you had not gotten the tie, if it had not been a tie and you hadn't thrown it the exact time, same time, that wouldn't have occurred. Would you agree, Fish?
Yeah, because essentially, like, in the timeline of a battle, a charge attack costs one turn of it takes one turn of time. And so essentially, in like the timeline of that battle, those charge attacks are both being thrown in the space of half a second, even though, you know, in our time, it's taking like 20 seconds for both of those moves to complete. Like in the game, in the battle, it's only half a second. So yeah, it allows you to get both of them off. And I'm glad that it happened because it allowed you to get that win.
Yep. So 2 seconds left on the timer and then the attack ties. So those 2 seconds did dwindle down during like your
yeah
tie.
That's true. I guess that kind of invalidates what I said, doesn't it? But it's it also it still makes sense for me just looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah, so again, what happened, 2 seconds left on the timer, the charge attack priority tie occurs, and since you tied, both moves are allowed to complete, both charge moves are allowed to occur, but the timer has run out.
Lucky you still shielded.
Yep, I'm trying to think of a sports analogy. I don't know if it's the same thing, but I know like in Formula One, as long as you can like, as long as you're on your lap, you still get to complete your lap, even if the timer runs out. Like if you're doing like a qualifying lap.
In the NFL, if the time runs out, if you've snapped the ball, you can complete that play as well. So like you.
That's
you
a much less confusing example. And probably more relevant to people because I'm one of the only people I know that likes Formula One.
I would like to like Formula One.
There's so much in Australia for Formula One. Like you have a race there. You have Daniel Ricciardo, who is also like an Italian Australian.
Yes, and all of us Italian Australians know each other. So.
Well, I'd imagine you'd be like, that's kind of cool. Like, that's not, there's not a lot of, he's the only Italian-Australian I know in Formula One.
I didn't realize he's still going. He's got to be like 45 now, right?
No, let's look him up. Daniel Ricciardo, Australian motorsports racing driver, is 34, born in Perth.
There you go. I thought he was, yeah, so much older now. I thought he was definitely retired.
Nope. So he's still on this season.
Who's he racing for now?
Well, he was on Red Bull's team, but I'm trying to remember because they switched it up recently. And I haven't, like, it's the off season, so I haven't caught up on all of the silly season. The big thing was Lewis Hamilton moved to Ferrari, and that's kind of what everybody's talking about right now.
Okay. Yeah, he was with McLaren?
Lewis Hamilton raced for Mercedes.
Mercedes, okay. Well, I mean, I'm impressing myself right now with
that you even know any of the teams.
Yeah. McLaren is a team in the Formula One, right?
Yes. They are.
There you go.
They are the orange team.
Was it Ricardo or Weber where there was like a bit of a battle for who was number one in the team?
I am not sure.
Oh, okay. Maybe it might have been Weber. Like, I think like he was meant to be the number two on the team, but then he like started winning races like at the expense of his teammate.
Oh,
or something like that.
So I forgot. So Ricardo's on the crazy team. So there's a team, and I want you to know that this is a real name. This team's name is real. Visa Cash App RB Formula One Team.
Oh dear.
That's that, the name. It's V Carb.
Sponsorship goes too far.
Yep, it's V Carb. V C A R B.
Sure.
V Carb. It's an Italian racing team. It's run by there's Red Bull Racing, and then this is another team that is owned by Red Bull Racing.
Mm-hmm.
It was formerly Scuderia AlphaTauri.
Mm-hmm.
So formerly known as AlphaTauri and is now Visa Cash App RB Formula One Team.
Wow.
Yep, and his teammate is Yuki Tsunoda, which is not my husband's favorite driver, but just kind of a fun driver to follow is Yuki.
Oh, so your husband's just as much into Formula One as
you? He's the one who got me into it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because he sat me down and made me watch Drive to Survive, which is like Netflix quote-unquote documentary of Formula One. And it's way dramatized. Like, just like all American anything, they like crank up the drama and make some things, some problems that aren't really there. And it's nuts. But I'm very excited for this upcoming season. And this whole end of season is really silly. I'm really excited for the next season. But yeah, Visa Cat, to answer your question, where is Daniel Ricciardo driving? He is driving for Visa Cash App RB.
Now we're going to do a crazy hairpin turn back into the PvP stuff. So thank you, Dottish22, for that really cool story. I loved hearing that. So the next question is from Kettlebell Kyle, who sent this in on the 28th of January. Kettlebell Kyle says, "Hey, Fish and DeFi, Kettlebell Kyle here. Longtime listener, first time writing in. My question is for Fish. So my wife loves this Australian sitcom called Kath and Kim. She watches it almost daily. Have you ever heard of it? If so, do you watch it? Is the show popular in Australia? Thanks for everything you both do. Sorry for the long email. I made the leads dot, dot, dot." Have you heard of this show, DeFi?
I've never heard of Kath and Kim. How about you?
It was like a phenomenon in Australia in like, I think the early 2000s or something like that. It is hard to explain. It's like two women, a mother and a daughter, living in like a very typical Australian suburban area. And they talk in these very, very overemphasized Australian accents. Like I can't explain exactly how this sitcom goes. So what I've actually done is I pulled a clip off of YouTube just to give you a sense of how this sitcom goes. This is like one of the more famous scenes, I guess.
"And it's dangerous. I could fall and break my neck. I mean, it's too late for tomorrow now. What am I going to do, Cheryl?"
"Well, maybe you could grate the bottom with a cheese grater. That'd give you a bit of traction."
"Oh, I'm not going to do that to my best shoes. What am I going to do? I mean, I'm going to kill myself just walking down the aisle."
"Here's your statue, Mum."
Kim's walking in.
"What the love of God is that?"
"It's a statue you wanted."
"Well, no, it's not, Kim."
"Yes, it is. It's a statue of little baby Jesus."
"Little baby Jesus? Oh, little baby Jesus, Kim, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
I spent hours assembling that."
"Oh, what about my shoes, Kim? You're hopeless."
"I am not hopeless."
"My shoes, the statue, what else can go wrong?"
So that's Kath and Kim. She's
so
walking in with
this.
Was
there a statue of cheese?
Cheese, yeah. It was a little, you know, those ones that are like coated in the red wax. And so she's got this like weird concoction of just like cheeses all stuck together with toothpicks. And that was cultural touchstone in Australia 20 years ago.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, that was the kind of thing that we just loved. It, I don't think they make it anymore. There was an American version of the show that was made at some point, and I did see an article one time including that show on the list of all-time worst remakes on television.
Oh, no.
Because, like, the whole point of the show is, like, sending up Australian culture. So I'm not sure it really translates if you make the characters American and try and do the same thing with American culture. But yes, I have heard of the show to answer the question, and I'm astounded that that someone outside of Australia has found it and is enjoying it as much as we did back in the day.
All right. Thank you so much for writing in. And our last piece of mail for today came in on the 29th of January, and it's from Sarah Lore. Hey there, all. I have a question in relation to PvP. Thought it might be good to open to others. It's about naming and tagging. How do PvPers name their Pokemon? What system, tricks, and tips do you use? Do you have numbers, moves, PvP rank? And to follow up, how do you, if you do, tag your Pokemon? I think this could also apply to wider Pokemon storage, but I thought PvPers might have an interesting take on it. Well, Sarah Lore, I'm behind on tagging. However, okay. Let me go ahead and open up my current tags, and I can let you know how I tag my Pokemon. So I have a tag for a Pokemon I'm working on Best Buddy with. All of my current Mega Pokemon have a tag. I have some for trading. Several trading-related tags. I have a tag for my 208 fully built Great League PvP Pokemon. My, sadly, 28 little cup Pokemon. I don't like it. I have 37 Ultra League Pokemon in a tag. I have 3 different Master League tags. Ones that are ready. Ones that I could build right now. Like, it's not ready. But I could make it. Like my Mamoswine. I have all the XL candy I need. And I have the Stardust. It has 3 moves. I just need to take it from 40 to 50. Mm-hmm. So I have a tag for those Pokemon. And then I have a tag for, these are Pokemon I would love to build in Master League, but I don't have nearly enough XL candy. Like my Viserion. I named it Viserion. It's my Kyurem. After Game of Thrones dragon, Viserion. Yep. And like I have 144 Kyurem XL candy. When on earth am I going to get the rest of that? I don't know. But I have a tag because I would love to build it someday. Same with my Groudon. I have 87 Groudon XL candy. When is that ever going to happen? And so I have that. I'm not done. Fish, I have not finished. I have a tag for all the Pokemon I've taken to level 50. There are 23 of them. I have a Nundo tag. What I want to make is a living shiny Dex tag, where I can just sort it by number and see every Pokemon in the Pokedex with a shiny. That's something I'm working on. And then I have several tags that are teams that I use in Show 6 Pick 3. So right now, all of my Primordial Pokemon that I'm using have a tag. Mm-hmm. So when I go up to my match, like I was playing Drayflames, I can type in Primordial into my search and I can find all those Pokemon. I also have the 2 teams that I ran at NAIC both years, 2022 and 2023, some old Sylph teams tagged. So let's, without going into naming yet, how do you tag your Pokemon, Fish? Or do you engage with that function?
Yeah, so for tags, absolutely. I was just going to mention also that a good call on asking PvPers specifically, because like I know that asking about naming and tagging systems is about as diverse a question as, you know, what's your playstyle? How do you play Pokemon Go in general? So, like, very good question. So for tagging, I have, same as you, I've got a tag for each league, Great League, Ultra League, Master League, and Little Cup. And I've got tags for individual tournaments that I'm participating in. So I've got one for the Play Pokemon tournaments. I've got one for the Sovereign Cup. I've got one for the Ultra League draft that we're doing. And I've also got one for Battle Frontier. I've got one for Pokemon. So I've got one that's just called Keep. And that is when I'm doing storage clean out. I put exclamation mark keep in the search box. So it will filter out anything that I've already sorted through and decided I'm going to keep it in my storage for now and only give me the ones that I haven't sorted through, which makes it a lot easier to you know, look at the right Pokemon when I'm deciding what to keep and get rid of from there. What else do I have? And I guess stuff to evolve as well for like when I've got evolving research tasks or something like that. I've got like shinies in there. The first shiny that I catch of any particular species, I will keep and mark to evolve when I get one of those tasks. Any kind of surplus of any species that I get, I will just delete because I just want to, you know, mark it off in my Pokedex and then I'm happy. I don't need one of every stage like I know a lot of people do. I think that's it for me for my tagging.
All right. So when it comes to naming Pokemon, so for my Master League Pokemon is kind of the exception. So I'm going to start there. I name it 100 and then I give it a fun nickname. Or if it's a Pokemon that I am going to best buddy, it gets, you know, either it's a hundo or it's a 98 and I give it a fun nickname. You know, or sometimes I won't even put like if it's a hundo or a 98. Sometimes it just gets its fun nickname because it has earned it by being my best buddy or by getting to level 50. So let me see if I can find like I have that Virizion, for example, in Master League. Chubby Bunny is my Diggersby that's best buddied. So some of them just have fun, silly nicknames. Daffodil is my Florges. Jasmine is my Medicham. Lick that's Jagger, cute. Obviously. Chanel is my Spritzy. Merlin is my Noctowl Hundo. And then obviously Misty is my Zacian Hundo. Southpaw is my Hundo. No, it is the Pommel.
Ah.
Everything else. So everything else for Ultra League and Great League is named either GL or UL to signify that it's a Great League or an Ultra League Pokemon. And then I name it with its percentage of stat product. Like Kalki IV shows the Pokemon as usually like 90 to 100%. 100% is like, this is your rank one perfect IV. Mm-hmm. So instead of naming it the rank of the Pokemon, I name it by the percentage.
Yep.
So how do you name yours, Fish?
So for me, I pretty much all of my Pokemon will have their rank followed by their IVs. So the attack, defense, and HP IVs individually. I will also have symbols or letters to further specify them. For example, a U if it's marked out as an Ultra League Pokemon, or an M if it's good for Master League. I actually won't put a letter if it's Great League because that's just an assumption. Like, that's the default. And then, like, L for Little Cup as well. I'll put a star next to it if it's, like, if that's marked out as a Pokemon whose second stage is the Pokemon that I'm after. So like if this will make a rank 2's wireless, I'll have 2 and then a star. Or if it's the, like if it's a 3-stage Pokemon and it's the bottom stage, the basic form of that Pokemon, then I'll put 2 stars. For example, like I've got Pokemon marked out that very high ranked Rhyhorn for Great League. If I ever need that, then I've got those there with the 2 stars next to it to show me, okay, this is specifically for Rhyhorn. Or like Magnemite, Geodude, that kind of thing. I'll also have a dollar sign if it's marked out as a good Pokemon for PvP in Mega form.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's very specific.
Yeah, very much. I put it out on Twitter once. I think the most ridiculous thing that I have kept in my storage is I think I actually might have mentioned it on the podcast as well. It's a rank 1 Manectric as a Mega in Little Cup.
Huh.
Which will never, ever be useful. But maybe
it,
might.
Might never be legal. Like, yeah. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't bring megas into, like, go battle league.
Not currently.
Not currently. I mean, you can bring them in, like, friend battles. So, like, in grassroots formats and stuff. But that.
Yeah. We might run a grassroots little cup tournament
in
Palestown.
It would faint to, like, one mud shot.
But if you can get that wild charge off, whoo boy.
So that's just silly.
I think that's it. Yeah, I don't think I have any other naming conventions in particular. I do have some Pokemon that are marked out for raids that I will I'll put some stat on them, but to be honest, I haven't engaged with my raid Pokemon for so long that I've forgotten completely how I name them. So thank you, Sarah Law. Really interesting question. At least I hope that our answers were interesting. and that will lead us to our achievements. We have a number of people to congratulate for their achievements over the past week in the Pallet Town and GoCast Discord servers. In Pallet Town, we have TB12 Pat's Rule and Maxitron 2010, who both hit level 50. S. Regachuelo and Magikarp both hit Veteran. Timurap hit Legend for the first time ever. Well done. Jai Loves Latinas got top 4 in the APAC Champions Tournament. We haven't even talked about this. This is a grassroots competition that has sprung up very recently that is, yeah, as the name suggests, the Asia-Pacific Championships. Like, that each country within the Asia-Pacific, including Australia, is sending through, like, their best qualifiers to like, the final. And, yeah, Jai Loves Latinas was one of the four that made it through. So pretty solid achievement there. Teaspoon finished their timed research and talked about how they did it last season, but this season they did it 18 days earlier and with 200 more ELO, which is a good shout. Hawkozzy just hit 10 million Stardust earned all time through GBL, and Dad talked about a 9-1 that they got during the day and were like, well, I am done for the day, and just took their winnings, stepped away from the table. And
that is
kind of there.
That's a smart way to play sometimes. Like, with my sets, I kind of wish I had a 4-1, and I kind of wish I would have stopped.
You're right.
Big congrats to Timurap. I actually played them last night. So must have
in GBL.
They beat me. So congratulations. Hopefully I was a little bit of a stepping stone on your way to that first time legend push. Another big achievement, DeFi-E, who's that, as well as Arkham, finished the timed research. So that was one of my season-long goals, was to do the 500 wins. And again, it's not like my win-lose record is bad. I just don't necessarily play all my sets every day. So I don't always get there. But this is much earlier than I got it last time. Last time it was like the last couple battles of the season. Like, I was playing in the very last week, like 2 days, I think. I think I had about a day to spare to get that goal.
It was basically like in the NBA, you're shot after the buzzer.
Yes, it was down to the wire. But I did get it last season, and I got it this season with some time.
Yeah.
Now I just need to work on my other two goals, which I've got to figure out a legendary Pokemon I can build. I don't know what that's going to be, because I can't build any legendary Pokemon right now. I could go really hard for Giratina Altered. I could go Buck Wild for it. Or I'm thinking Dialga or Palkia during Sinnoh or Global. I might have more opportunities for Dialga and Palkia. We shall see. I'll probably raid both, because I want a hundo.
Yeah.
I have of the origin form. I'm really happy with my 98 altered form, but I want a hundo origin form.
Yeah, totally.
And legend, I'm so close. Like, we talked about it at the beginning. Like, I've been in the 2900s now for 2 days, and I just need to get that last little bit of a jump. I just can't run into any more Matangs.
Everyone, put the Matang down.
Put the Matangs and the Chanseys. Just, like, it's not fun.
I haven't been across too many Chansey. I unfortunately, I've lost to both of them that I've come across too. I've lost to both of them, but like I've put in a solid effort.
I've beaten a fair few.
Yeah,
with Vigoroth. Yeah. As long as like I can align the Vigoroth on the Chansey, yeah, I usually can beat the team.
100%.
However, if I can't do that, because even a psychic coming from a Chansey is not fun for Hakamolo.
No.
The Steel Wing on Togekiss is actually pretty nice because you can actually chunk a Chansey pretty well with that fast move damage.
Okay.
Which is quite nice, even though it's neutral. It does a lot more because most Togekiss that I've seen have been running, or Togetic, I'm sorry. Togetic's running, mine is running the legacy move of Steel Wing is the fast move. However, most Togetic that I'm seeing are running Fairy Wind, which does like zero fast move damage to anything.
Yeah.
So that fast move pressure is really, really nice against Chansey.
DeFi, do you have anything to plug?
I'm still getting my life together to wrap up the December fundraiser and do my final little tie the bow on it for that. And I'm thinking, because I'm not going to play Catch Cup. Like, that's just not going to happen. So maybe I could do some, like, alternate content. There's a couple video games I just kind of want to play that aren't Pokemon related. So I might do a little bit of that during Catch Cup, Little and Catch Cup Great League. And we'll see where I'm at with a legend push into February, but I'd like to get back into that routine of streaming. This weekend could be it. We will see what's going to happen this weekend, if that's the prime opportunity for me to fire up my computer and get back on the horse.
That is great to hear. So with that, we love hearing from you. If you have any questions or suggestions for myself or DeFi, you can direct your feedback to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send us a voicemail or physical mail to the GoCast PO Box. Take a look at the show description for the phone number and the PO Box address. In the show description, you can also click on More Fish or More DeFi to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. And also, don't forget to have a listen to the other two shows in this podcast feed, the main GoCast podcast to get news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go, and the newest addition to the family, Star Piece, where Chris and Lachlan interviewed Ian Waterfall in the most recent episode. And we will see you next week.
Bye!